How many people have your Bible today? Stand up and raise them above your head if you would, please. Bear witness of God's word. Amen. That's beautiful. You may be seated. If you would, please turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. We're going to talk about the wise men today. Matthew chapter 2. I would have to admit, for years and years of seeing the nativity scene and knowing what we're supposed to know about all the people that we see that are called to this party at the stable, called to this gathering, we see shepherds and we see sheep and we see wise men and Mary and Joseph and we have angels there and we see all these things. I can understand, because in thinking through this story, I know that the shepherds were told by the angels, go, right? And I understand what shepherds do. Shepherds watch sheep, and the angels came. And of course, when a lot of angels, a multitude of heavenly hosts appears in front of you and says, go and find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, then you go, right? I understood that Mary had an angel speak to her. Joseph had an angel speak to him. Zacharias, as we learned last week, had an angel that came and told him things. When you hear those things, but the wise men, that's the missing link. There were no angels that appeared to the wise men. They didn't see a billboard. There was nothing that said, hey, listen, here's exactly what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, and I am this angelic being, and this is what you need to do. And then I think about the wise men, too. And the wise men, like, think about it. How do you become a wise man? I want to grow up to be a wise man. Like, how did the wise men get to be wise men? What made them wise men? All these questions, I think we sort of roll over in our mind and we just assume, hey, there's three wise men that walk up. We can't even decide what we want to call them. We either call them wise men or magi or kings, right? Well, Matthew chapter 1 calls them wise men. And today I want to talk about them. I want to talk about how they changed the Christmas story, but I really think they can change the Christmas story for us today. I looked into this little section of Scripture deeper than the surface, and I want you to see some things today that I think changed my perspective, and hopefully they'll change yours. God wanted us to see specifically this group of men. 12 verses were designated to this event that happened. The wise men came. Matthew chapter 2. Let's read verses 1 through 12 together. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Who came from the east? Tell me again. Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard those things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, a star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come unto the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. They came onto the pages of Scripture in verse 1 and gently left the pages of Scripture in verse 12. And our Christmas cards have them pictured on there. Our Christmas plays, we see them coming. We accept that, but we still don't understand who the wise men were. As we read the section of Scripture, we can see the story of the wise men. We see them doing three things, basically, if you want to break it down. We see them searching for Jesus, finding Jesus, and worshiping Jesus. That simple pattern is a pattern for us. Searching for Jesus, finding Jesus, and worshiping Jesus. There are those that are here today that can remember a time in their life when the gospel was presented to them. They learned that Jesus was not just a historical figure. He was actually the gift of God. They realized at this time that me and myself am just a sinner, and God has nothing to do with sin, so there's something between me and God, and it's called sin. I can't buy my way out of it. I can't be good enough to break that. I have to accept the only thing that can cover my sin to get me to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me.
Amen.
So God gave us a gift, His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So I was searching for peace. I was searching. And then when I heard the gospel, I found it. But then I have to receive it. You see, when I'm searching, it is something that I'm acquiring. When I get there, then I have knowledge of it. But then to apply that knowledge and know that He is the only way I'm going to find peace, He is the only one that can forgive my sins, then I have to do step three. I have to worship. Do you realize there are those that are listening today that are searching, but they haven't accepted the knowledge? There are those that are listening today that are searching and have accepted the knowledge, but that's where it stops. They're not acting upon the knowledge and worshiping. They just have the knowledge. Go back to your children's sermon. He was smart enough to read. He understood what he read. But until he acted upon that knowledge, you couldn't say that he was wise. As a matter of fact, you would say he was unwise if he had the knowledge to read it. He read it. The gummies were there. He wanted gummies, and he didn't act upon it. True? So the wise men, they're a little different sort. They weren't given this knowledge by angelic host. We need to find out what makes these guys work. We need to find out what exactly about the wise men did God want us to specifically look at. What about them can change my perspective on how I worship? You see, we just accept things because we see them. The Bible doesn't ever say there were three wise men, even though we always have three wise men. The Bible says they brought three gifts. Never says there were three wise men. As a matter of fact, when we read this story, we realized that when these wise men entered into this town, that the town was in an uproar. It said the town was troubled, and the word got all the way to King Herod, right? If three guys walk into a town, the word doesn't get to the king. But let's say 100 guys walk into town that are from out of town, and they're saying, hey, where can we find this King of the Jews? The one that's going to be born King of the Jews. We're looking for a baby. Looking for a baby here. Somebody that was born as King of the Jews. You realize you're walking into a town that has a king already? A wicked king? Three people don't do that, but I'm convinced there are a lot of wise men that came. Came from all over. They assembled. Then they followed this star and they got there. And then we assume that these wise men were there when baby Jesus was born and the shepherds. I don't think the wise men ever saw the shepherds. You say, what makes you believe they didn't see the shepherds? Well, a couple of things. The Bible tells us that when they came, they saw the young child. Doesn't say the baby anymore. Read with me here. It says in verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed. Lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till they came and stood over where the young child was. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Listen, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child again. Hey, another key thing, don't miss this. When they came into the house. Not when they came into the stable or the cave or whatever. We hear all these people trying to say, this is where Jesus was born, this is where Jesus was born. But this is totally different. They found him in the house. What do you mean the house? That raises another question. Were Mary and Joseph, were they from Bethlehem? The way I remember the story is there was a decree from Caesar Augustus that went out that said that everyone should be taxed. So Joseph had to go back to Bethlehem because that was the part of the family where he was associated with. He had to go back for the census, right? So they could have an account of you. So why were they still in Bethlehem? Well, she had a new baby. She couldn't travel back. Now, it was bad enough she had to travel pregnant on the donkey. But Joseph was a pretty smart fella. So they found him a place in Bethlehem. He was a young child. It was all God's plan. They found them there and they worshiped them. Then they realized that Herod was a liar. He was up to no good. He was looking to kill Jesus. And they were actually warned. If you look at the end of it, it says, and being warned by God in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country. Another way. They figured Herod out. God intervened another time. And then they go back off the pages of Scripture. Who are these wise men? What do we know about these wise men? Why are they called wise men? What specific place did they come from? How did they know to follow the star to find Jesus? Why did they even want to find Jesus and travel so far to find him? If they came from the east, let's say somewhere like Babylonia, Babylon, realize that a round trip would be about 1,500 miles. On camel, you make 20 miles a day. That's if you can ride every day, if you get what I mean. Who knows how many days it took to get there? We would think by reading the rest of the story, when Herod issued another decree that said every baby 2 years under, 2 years and under would be killed, that the wise man at least told him it took us a year to get here, and he doubled the time, right? Took him a long time. A lot of effort went in to find Jesus. I want you to consider something. I want you to consider verse 2 because all this sermon's wrapped around verse 2. They came into the pages of Scripture, 12 verses, but verse 2. I want you to listen to this. I think in this verse we find our answers by looking at the question that they asked once they arrived in Jerusalem. Listen to what they were saying. Verse 2, and it's important you say this first word with me, saying. All right, it's important that everybody says this first word with me, okay? All right, saying. Yeah. See, that's the way it's just describing. It's going from verse 1 to verse 2, and it says that they came from the east. They followed a star. They wanted to worship him, and they were coming to Jerusalem, and this is what they were, what? Saying. All right, this is what they were saying. So they're speaking. Listen. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. This one question defines the wise men. The one question. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and we have come to worship him. You see, the scriptures really only tell us one thing, one specific thing about who the wise men are. We've put all the rest of the things in there. You can go online, and I've researched this and concordances and wanting to dig into the wise men and their background, and you will find stuff written by everybody about this tribe coming from here and this person. But listen, there's one thing that's told you about this group of men, and that is that they came from the east to worship him. You see, the story shows us something more important than who they were. It tells us what they were. Can I tell you what the wise men were today? They were believers in Jesus Christ. Amen. The whole story shows us they were believers. Not that they came from here, they did this. No, they were believers. You see, we've learned from the book of Daniel, and this is just a little, just to teach you a little bit. From the book of Daniel, when Israel was in captivity, if you can remember, there was a king. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. I'll give you a chance to say that. Go ahead. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And when he had this dream, he wanted somebody to tell him what the dream meant. Nebuchadnezzar made it hard. He said, I don't want to tell you what my dream is. I want you to tell me what my dream is, and then I want you to tell me what it is. So it would take a very wise man to do that. If you read Daniel chapter 2, and if you read Daniel chapter 5, you will see something amazing. Daniel 2 and Daniel 5 actually cause all the king's brain trust, if you will, his advisors, the people that advise him and tell them, the most intellectual, learned people there, he calls them his wise men. Now, I asked a couple of people, just knowing I was going to preach this, what made the wise men wise men? Why did they do this? And I heard things from, hey, they were astrologers, so they followed a star. They were looking for the star. Listen, an astrologer can see a star, but it doesn't mean they'll follow it to Jesus. This is what's neat. If you read Daniel 2, you'll see that they grouped all these people together. Astrologers, magicians, soothsayers. I like to say it, soothsayers. You know what that means? That means a fortune teller. And then all the learned people. What does that mean? The intellectual people. The people that could read and write and were bright, could put things together. Like today, if we apply this to what's happening now, you know, a new president was elected. And if you listen to the news, you'll see, well, the cabinet is being set up. And this person's going to be in this part of the cabinet. This person's going to be the Secretary of State. This person's going to be the advisor for the health or for the wealth or for the foreign issues. And so this is what the president puts around him. It's the brain trust. It's people that are supposed to advise him. This is what the wise men were called. These wise men didn't just have to know about astrology. They had to go back and know about every other country around them, because the king might want to say, well, hey, listen, this country is putting a halt on us receiving this. What can we do? What in their history shows us how we can effectively be able to bargain with these people, or what are they likely to do? So they had people that were assigned to go back and read and learn, because that's how you learn, right? So some of these wise men had went back and read the Old Testament, the book of the law. Amazing. They had to, because they had to know how to deal with Jerusalem. Remember, they had the Israelites in captivity for all that time. Oh, and here's an important fact. One of the wise men that was in captivity, his name is Daniel. And Daniel was such a wise man, being able to interpret that dream, that he made him chief of the wise men. So I'll guarantee you, at their little wise man meetings that they had, Daniel was able to say, here's some wisdom you don't want to forget. I serve a living God. He kept me safe in the lion's den. He's been able to deliver me. I saw my three buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, get thrown into the fire, but my God saved them. And my God said, there is another way for you to come to me that's coming. Instead of sacrifice and offering, I'm sending my son Jesus. So Daniel was telling these wise men that. So in all these scriptures, we see that if they read them and learned them, that didn't make them wise men. You see, God named them wise men in Matthew 2. He gave them wise men because they didn't just read it. They didn't just learn it. They actually came. They actually put effort behind it. They actually came and knelt and offered their gifts. You say, well, how do you know they believed? You see, there's a difference in learning something and believing something. There's a difference between knowledge and belief. We can learn anything and know it, but until you accept it, until you own it, until you make it yours, until you believe it, it doesn't become something you can act upon. Knowledge and belief, knowledge and belief. A lot of us have knowledge, don't we? I can tell you when I look back on my life, I remember coming to the knowledge of Christ, being put in a place where I heard that Jesus died for my sins, and that if I didn't confess my sins to God, if I didn't actually believe and admit to Him that I was a sinner and ask Him to please give me that gift of love, I want Jesus to be my Savior. If I didn't actually believe that and confess it to Him, the Bible says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, right? That if I didn't do that, then it just stayed knowledge. Don't let me lose you, okay? You see, before I heard that, I believed that just the knowledge was okay. I was at a place in my walk as a child, I was trained to believe in God. I was told all the Bible stories. I was taken to church. I was told that Jesus died for me. I was told that Jesus was on the cross. I was part of the people that had the knowledge. My family wasn't bad. We had knowledge. We went to church. I can remember Christmas, we celebrated that. It was knowledge. I went through a class and they said, if you can put all this knowledge back out here, we're going to give you a certificate that says, hey, listen, we're going to confirm the knowledge that you have, and because of this, you are going to heaven. That means that you're born again, you're saved, because, listen, you've given us this knowledge, but I can tell you specifically that even though it was knowledge, I didn't apply the knowledge. You see, the wise men applied the knowledge. They didn't just learn it. They didn't just read it. They didn't just know it. They acted upon it. There's a difference between the knowledge and the belief. It's as simple as Gray knowing what he wanted was 10 feet away from him and getting up and acting upon that knowledge. How many people, as the Bible says, Matthew chapter 24, there will be many in that day that say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And he will say, I never knew you. I'm sorry, I never knew you. Depart from me. What a sad day when people will be divided between knowledge and belief. The book of James tells us, even the devil believes in God. He has knowledge of God, but that doesn't get him to God. Belief and owning what God does, accepting what Jesus has done by your own belief and confession. Something amazing here. We can clearly see the belief of the wise men. Why? Well, they knew who Jesus was. It was all in a question. They said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? It wasn't your normal question. Does anybody know anybody else that's ever been born king? You don't get born king, do you? At best, you can get born prince, but can't get born king, because the people that born you would be ruling right now. But they knew he was going to be born king. They had read something somewhere, right? And they had acted upon that. And they were there to worship him. And they acted upon that belief because even before they left, they gathered gifts to give to him. Gold. Well, what is gold? Gold's the gift for a king. What do you give a king? My kids are saying right now, Dad, you're terrible. You're hard to buy for at Christmas. So I'm the easiest person in the world to buy for. But if I was a king, And I had everything. What's the one thing that you want? Gold. King's gift for gold, traditionally. Frankincense. Frankincense. It's not something that we go get at CVS, is it? Frankincense is the traditional incense that the priest would burn at the time of sacrifice. So they gave Jesus, this baby, the gift of gold, which meant he was being recognized as a what? King. They gave him frankincense, which is what you would give a priest. So they were recognizing him as a king and as a priest, realizing that the Bible had already told us he would be our counselor. And we learned that Jesus is our go-between. He's the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, right? He's the one that sits on the right hand of God the Father and said, hey, this is Mike coming to you again. He's truly repentant. Can you please forgive him? Yes, he has had 1,147 chances on this one thing, but he truly is repentant, and he fights my case. And at the end of it, he says, hey, but by the way, he's covered by my blood, and I stand on your side to tell you he's one of yours. Will you give him another chance? He's my priest. The great high priest. He's the great high priest that made the ultimate sacrifice. He gave himself on the cross to get me to God and to get you to God. So they recognized him as a king, this baby. They recognized him as a priest, this baby. It was who they knew he was going to be. How did they learn this? Did the star show it to them? No. They learned it. After they learned it, they applied it. Because they learned it, then they believed it. And here's the last one, myrrh. Myrrh's another incense. They burned that at funerals. They knew that they needed to give him this because this king that was priest would have to die to be king and priest. Do you think they believed? Now, can you find the passage of Scripture where this star told them all these things? They weren't wise men because they followed a star. They weren't wise men because they were astrologers. And I didn't give you that information about the three wise men maybe being 100 and it not being at the stable. It was at a house. I didn't want to blow your nativity scene up. That's not my, I don't want to. Keep it out. Keep it set up. Listen, I'll put it out with three. That's fine with me. I'm not here to argue that. It's fine, whatever. You know why? Because we're not told how many. If you want to say three, three's fine. What I want us to see is that there's a reason for these wise men coming on the pages and going off, and it's not because they followed a star. Yes, God gave them that star. He gave them something to follow, but they didn't go on what the star said. They went on what they learned and what they believed. You don't travel that many hundred miles on a camel to another place. Listen, if they were from Babylon, understand, they're going to what they would call a lesser country, to a lesser king. They'd already defeated the Israelites. They were going to come and put their life on the line and walk into this town and say, we're looking for a king to worship him. You don't do all that unless you believe in something. They must have read somewhere in Isaiah Chapter 7, 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall come and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. They must have read Isaiah's prophecy somewhere around what we call the 9th chapter, verse 6 and 7. For unto you a child, or unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. They must have read somewhere in the book of Numbers when they were reading about Moses and this man Balaam who came up that was prophesying, that somewhere Balaam, God put words in his mouth and he said, hey, listen, a star is going to come out of Jacob. They must have read that. They must have learned that. No, that's not what got them there. They read it, they learned it, but they must have believed it. There's a difference between knowledge and belief. The wise men came on these pages to show us the difference between knowledge and belief. There's some key things that happen in this story that define the wise men. And when we try to figure out who the wise men were, when we try to define them, we think wise men are wise. They're smart enough to know all the answers. That's really what we think wisdom is, and that's what the kids, in their simple mind. What is a wise man? Somebody smart? Who do we call somebody smart? The person that does what? They know all the what? Answers, right? Not the wise men. The wise men were not defined by their answers. They were defined by their question.
Come on, man.
Get this. Their question was evidence that they were searching. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? That's a question, guys. They went around saying, where is he at? Where is he at? What did that show?
Amen.
Showed they believed. The people knew they weren't from town. You're not from around here, are you? No, not from around here. I can tell by the way you dress, you're not from around here, but you're going through the town. You're saying, where can I find King Jesus? Where can I find King Jesus? Where can I find this king? Where is he? We want to worship him. Where is he?
Amen.
I want you to picture yourself in Jerusalem. You see, they followed the star all the way to there, and it was God's purpose. They didn't see the star at that point. They had to stop at Jerusalem. If you're looking for the king, it makes sense. You would go to the capital, right? They didn't go to Bethlehem. God let that star go out, left them on their own for a while. They ended up in Jerusalem. Isn't that just about like us? But I looked into this story. I saw some things that were pretty neat that I really hadn't looked at before. And a lot of them made me look at my own life and really take a second look. And maybe it'll cause us all to do that today. I want you to notice something. It's pretty neat. It's part of speech. You know, I'm that English guy. You know, I like language. I want you to look at the first word in verse 2. First word. A minute ago, we said this out loud, but for all you people who like to be grammatically correct, we're going to have a little English thing here, okay? I want you to say this word with me on the count of three. One, two, three.
Same.
One more time.
Same.
First word in this verse is explaining to us they came from the east. We learned that in verse 1. They came to Jerusalem. That's all we're told about them. It was in the days of Herod. That's the time frame. But then we begin to know who they are by this first word, saying. And we learn what they said. What they said was a question. But it's something neat about this word. I want you to think about this. And it opened up a whole world for me just looking at it. Saying is what we call a present participle. How many people remember that? Anybody? Anybody? That wasn't on the conjunction, junction, where's your function that you used to watch it on TV, right? Or you couldn't get something that rhymed with present participle, right? All right. Saying here is not like, okay, what is he saying? It is a present participle, the way it's written in translation. It is the act of continual saying, saying, you keep saying, you keep saying, you keep saying. These wise men came to the town and they didn't peek their head in the gates of Jerusalem and say, hey, anybody seen, we're looking for a baby. King Jesus, supposed to be born somewhere around here. No, yet see, okay, good. Now it wasn't like it was. They came in and they said, we're looking for Jesus to be born King of the Jews. Where is he at? We came seeking the one born King. Where is he at? Can you imagine these people coming into town and asking? They kept saying, you know why people keep saying something and keep saying something? Because they don't get an answer. Think about it. They wouldn't have kept saying and asking a question, where is he? If someone would have stepped up and said, he's in Bethlehem. They didn't get that answer until they went before the King Herod. And they only got that answer after the religious people, the chief priests and scribes, came to Herod and said, hey, Herod, hey, here's where he's at. Now, let me just play this out for you a little bit because it's pretty neat. These wise men come into town. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We want to worship him. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We want to worship him. This person didn't know. Hey, do you know where he's at? Do you know where he's at? Can you imagine 10, 20, 30 wise men going through the town? Finally, the word gets to the king. Nobody can answer him. Nobody can tell him, where is this baby Jesus? Nobody can say. The king's like, who's causing all this trouble? King? What king? I'm the only king around here. Yes, I've heard about this Jesus. Bring them to me. And he asked these guys and said, hey, who are you looking for? We're looking for this king. This bothers me, Herod said. Only king around here is going to be me. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. Let me call the people that should know. Let me call the religious people, the chief priests and the scribes. Hey, guys, you guys know all this stuff. You have knowledge of it. Where is this king supposed to be born that they're talking about, this king of the Jews? Immediately, without even a flash, do you know that those religious people were able to tell him, hey, we know exactly where it's at, King Herod. Micah 5:2, the prophet said he's going to be born in Bethlehem. You say, okay, you've told us the story. Okay, we missed something. Look in between the story. Hold on. Grab this, okay? They kept asking and asking because nobody knew, number one. Why didn't anybody know? You say, well, they didn't see a star. No, they had better. When Jesus was born, probably a year earlier, there was a group of crazy shepherds that came to town. Luke 2 says, they made known abroad what they had seen. When some guys come to town and say, we've seen 1,000 angels, and they took us to baby Jesus, the one that's going to be the Messiah, you know, the one we've looked for thousands and thousands of years, that word got to Jerusalem. And nobody believed it. Do you know why? If somebody would have believed it, then they wouldn't have had to keep saying. Somebody would have said, yeah, a year ago, some shepherds came through here. The baby you're looking for is in Bethlehem. Is that on your scripture pages? Do you see where anybody told them that? Oh, now let's look at the religious people. Let's look at the chief priests, those that say, we know, we learned all these scriptures. We were quick with our answer. Yes, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. They couldn't answer it either. They knew where he's going to be born. But did they tell the king he's in Bethlehem? If you would have had some shepherds coming to your town saying Jesus has been born in Bethlehem and you even slightest believed it, wouldn't somebody have followed up on it? They made known abroad the saying. That means it got to Jerusalem. People learned it. They knew what the scripture said. They knew the testimony of it. They just did not believe it. You know why they didn't believe it? You know why we know they didn't believe it? They didn't act upon it. Today I look at us and I think, how many of us Christians are complaining about Christmas being this pagan thing where people run around and all we hear about is the holiday season and the rush of it. It's so commercialized and we've got Santa Claus and we've got this. And so Christians are on their stump. They're trying to say, well, this is not the way it's supposed to be and it's just not for me. Listen, if we were being the wise man that we should be, then our Jerusalem would be stirred up and people would have knowledge of what we're talking about. Amen. It's us. We know it. We've learned it. We might talk about it together. We're not out in the streets saying it. These guys were unafraid and unashamed to walk and say, we came to worship Jesus, our King. They were unafraid. Do you know that after they came to town, after these wise men came to town, this is the point in the story that everybody knew Jesus was born in Bethlehem. You say, oh yeah, but you're wrong. This is what happened. I read the rest of the story. King Herod, he went and had every baby, ordered that every baby 2 years old and under should be killed. Listen, I don't want you to miss this. Because of the wise men, letting them know the baby has been born, even though Herod didn't know what it meant, Herod became the biggest voice of affirmation to say Jesus Christ was born, because he is the one that ordered every baby two and under to be killed. Isn't that amazing? The devil, in his wicked way to say, do that, Herod, well, he made it valid. He was basically saying, another king has been born, and I'm going to take care of it, right? Don't you know people were going around saying, why is Herod killing all the babies? Because they say Jesus has been born. Jesus has been born. The Messiah has been born. The King of Jews have been born. So his word started to spread, right? Nothing would have happened if they wouldn't have kept saying. Nothing would have happened if they would have just poked their head in and say, hey, I worship Jesus. No, they were adamant. They kept saying and saying, we're searching, we're searching. We're going to go past our knowledge. We want it to be belief. That's what made them wise men. Not knowing it. Not being smart enough to read it. Not following a star. Believing what God had told them. Do you know that every one of us have an opportunity to be a wise man? And so many people fail to because of their own perceived intellect and wisdom. Oh, I know this, and I'm learned in this many, and I made this on the SAT, and I can do all these things, and listen, I know all about this, and I've been trained in this area, and listen, logically, I can tell you about this, and science-wise, I can tell you about this. In our own mind and our own logic, we prove how unwise we are, because the wise men, according to God, and remember, God named them here wise men. The wise men are the people that believed and followed. So, what a shame Jerusalem looked like this. What a shame nobody could give him an answer. What a shame it had to get this bad before it went to a king and the king had to put a plot in place. What a shame that nobody in Jerusalem could answer him. It's safe to say there was a city that lacked the wisdom of God. The city that failed to believe. We know the shepherd's word got to there. I know that if you're really searching and seeking to be close to Jesus, then he's going to make sure you find him. I can look back in my life and I can honestly tell you, we won't talk about you. If it makes it easier, we'll talk about me. I can tell you where I messed up. Where I messed up is I took the knowledge that I had of God. And believe me, when I accepted the knowledge of salvation, it gave me peace. It really did. And I learned how to be content and have peace and know and witness for God and have a peace of knowing he was taking care of things. But then I began to walk in my own wisdom. I still had the knowledge of God. I just didn't act upon it. I became smart. I reached the level of maturity to where my wisdom was what I walked by. So I stopped being a wise man. And I think that's what happens to us as believers. Even those that accept the wisdom of God and you kneel before him. You've searched for him, you found him, and you worship him. Do you know how easy it is? The next opportunity you have just to let it be knowledge but not act upon that knowledge, it's easy not to act upon the knowledge. There's a difference between knowledge and belief. Belief has an action that goes to it. That's why the wise man came across this page. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. Acts 17:27 says that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from any one of us. And James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. These wise men were going to find that baby regardless. Why? They were drawing nigh to him. They left their plan, their agenda. They left their schedule to find him. It took effort. It took criticism. When they came into the city of Jerusalem, I'm sure they were met with, you're naive, you're just crazy. Yeah, we've heard that, but it's not going to happen anytime soon. Listen, here's what I want to ask you today. If somebody walks into your Jerusalem, are they going to have to go past you and keep saying to ask somebody else? Not only I had to ask myself, am I a wise man? I had to say, am I that person in Jerusalem? You say, well, Jesus has come. The question doesn't apply. Oh, Jesus is coming back, man. Do you realize that when the book of Hebrews talks about all those strong people of faith, it says they were looking for a city. They were looking for a place whose founder and maker was God. They kept looking, searching. You know what the definition of wisdom is? Wisdom, according to the wise men, are those that search for the answers. They search by asking questions. They search by their belief. They search by their actions. They search this one key question. And here's the key question. Vicki had no idea we were going to sing about it today. Just a closer walk with him. Because I want to break down what the wise men did here. See, the wise men, they brought the gifts, they brought the gold, but they were adamant. You know what the wise men were trying to do? They were trying to get close to Jesus. They were trying to come into his presence. They were trying to kneel before him. They were trying to worship him. They said, we need to find him so that we can worship him. You know how you worship him? You don't worship him by phone. You don't worship him from a distance. You worship him by recognizing him as King, as Savior, and bow in front of him. Submit yourself to him. It said they bowed in front of him. They came and they offered him gifts. Listen, we submit ourselves to you. That's what made them wise. It's about coming into the presence of God. You say, well, I've already done that. Listen, if you're a Christian, every day you should be seeking to be a wise man. Seeking to come in the presence of God. What happens to us is we get so busy, we get redirected with our wisdom. We know it, yes. I'll be the first to tell you. Listen, I have this phrase told to me more than any phrase you can ever believe. I'm that preacher that says stuff that might offend people. I would rather never have you come in here and say anything offensive, but God sometimes says stuff that offends us because he's like a father, right? So I put myself in that place of a father. Here's one of the things I hear as a father, then here's one of the things you hear as a pastor. As a father, when I'm trying to instruct my children get to a certain age, and then they say this phrase, I know. You know what I know means? Let me give you translation. You don't have to say it again. You've said it once. I know. Then this is different. I know, I know, I know. With the little head back, right? You know what that means? That means you keep telling me, I know that. I'm past that level of intellect. You can't tell me anything. I know this, and you don't know it. I know this, and you don't know it. I know. Now, bear in mind, you're the father, you're the person that cares the most about this person, but somewhere in their life, they've become quasi-intelligent, past your level. They couldn't wipe their own rear end, and you've led them to be able to feed themselves, clean themselves, clothe themselves, and now, I know, I'm done with your knowledge, I know. You're smart. We don't get it. I went through that level too. I did. The only way to get out of it is to get humbled to realize you don't know. Anybody ever went through that level? Right. The next I know that you might go through might be saying, oh yeah, I know that too. You see, Father God is like a regular father. When he hears us keep saying, I know, I know, and we claim our wisdom. I know it. Well, sometimes it's just words. It shows that we don't really believe it. We don't really want to follow it. How many people think that you're supposed to pray frequently to God and have a verbal communication, not just one time or two times a day, but be in prayer to God? Anybody? That's knowledge, right? How many people believe that you're supposed to come and assemble together and worship him? Anybody believe that? You did today because you're here. People believe that you're supposed to sing praise to him. You believe that? All right. How many times have you known that, but your wisdom interceded and said, I think I'm going to do this instead? Or what happened to what I didn't do this, and I should have done this, but I didn't. Or I know I need to pray, or I know I need to go here. I know I need to serve there. I know I need to be generous to this person. I know I don't need to say that. I know I need to be like this. I know I need to do that. I know. You know who we are? We're that kid standing in front of our Father claiming that we have wisdom. The wise man says, I know, and I'm going to make it my belief. I'm going to come and bow before the one that I know about, and I'm going to worship him. That's what the wise men were able to show me in this passage of Scripture. They weren't wise because they were astrologers. They weren't wise because of what they known. They were wise because of what they applied. There's a difference between knowledge and belief. And we found it all out by looking at the question of a wise man. So I would ask you today, could we have been a wise man? Could you have been? Ask yourself now, are you a wise man? Are you the wise man that's acting on your belief? Or are you the person in Jerusalem that somebody has to walk by? Ask the next person. When I applied this to my life, I was like, oh me, I can tell you that for these years, I was no different than that person that was in there. I couldn't have told you anything. I was too busy. Yeah, I know that. I guess the more defining question would be to say, would others say, if they were defining us, that we are that wise man? We're the one that has knowledge, or we're the one that has belief? Because if they say that you have knowledge, but they don't see you applying that belief, you're not a wise man. And then the ultimate thing is, what would God say? What would he say? Would he label me as a wise man or not? Or you or not? He knows if you know, but he knows if you're applying it. If you're not applying it, then I had that picture in my mind where I was a Christian. I knew what to do. I kept wondering why my life didn't work. I kept nodding my head at him saying, I know. Knowing that he loved me. He loved me enough to give his son to die for me. I know that he said he wanted to provide for me. He wanted to make things work out for me. But I was that kid. I couldn't stand it, seeing myself in that position, nodding my head at my Heavenly Father saying, I've got the nod. I know. Any parent will tell you there's nothing more repulsive than seeing your child do that to you. True parents? What about us to God? I saw myself being that child. And I had to cry out and just ask God to forgive me. There's a difference in knowledge and belief. The wise men believed. The wise men were wise because they acted upon the belief. God will make sure that you have a way to get to him. He'll make sure you find him. But your life has got to be a life where you're seeking and searching him. It can't be that you know he's supposed to be here, or you can put him over here and leave him alone. The wise man sought him without some big billboard, some angels. They learned, they applied it. That's how you'll find him. When you find him, you'll find the peace you're looking for. You'll find the favor of God. You'll find a joy that you don't have now, because you'll be able to kneel before him and say it's all yours. You're in one of two places today. You're either that person that is here, that has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you're a person that's here that hasn't. You haven't because you haven't believed. Most everybody here has been that person before, where you have to step out from saying, I know it, and admit that you believe it. God requires us to admit to him that we believe it, to confess that we are sinners and we need him. If you're that person today, my prayer is that you would have the boldness, you would be unafraid, you would see beyond a shadow of a doubt that you need to come and accept him as your Savior today. I want to pray with you, tell you the prayer to pray, to ask God to save you, walk you right through it. You can leave here with peace today. But you may be, and the majority of people are going to be that Christian that's here. And some of you may be walking with God and you are just on fire for God and you're loving it and you're enjoying that peace and you need to be praying more than anybody. But I would say the majority of people here are people that are saying, I know it, I know it. But we're not applying it. And if you're that person today, you know how you fix that. You come and kneel before him just like those wise men did. You make it to Bethlehem. You recognize God for who he is. You're worshiping by your prayer. You're able to come to him and say, hey, forgive me. I've got off track. I've got focused on some other things. I want to rededicate my life to you. I'm a person that's going to walk. I'm going to be a wise man. I'm going to make the journey. I'm going to give the gifts of my life to you, myself to you, my service to you. I can guarantee you, you're not going to be perfect when you get through with that prayer. You're going to go back out and mess up. I do every day. But he's gracious. He gives you that opportunity to come back into fellowship with him today. If you're in that position, be like those wise men and come and kneel before him today. All you have to give him is yourself. No gold, no frankincense, no myrrh. You offer him in your prayer. You tell him, you know he's king. You know he's high priest. You know he died for you. Guess what? That's the gift he wants. All right? Father God, I love you. I praise you and I thank you for who you are. I thank you, Lord, for your message. I thank you, God, that you've shown us through your word today, how to come to you in worship. Thank you for these wise men that came. Thank you, Lord, for the knowledge they acted upon where it became belief. I pray, God, for each and every person in this room today, Lord. Let us see ourselves. Let us see ourselves the way you see us, Lord. Show us ourselves today. Are we really a wise man? Would we pass the test? Show us ourselves. Are we adamant about applying what we know? Do we really believe it? Lord, are we that person that is in Jerusalem that claims to know? We've heard it, but we're not looking. Lord, show us ourselves today. And Lord, for that person that's here that is enjoying your peace and joy right now, they're walking with you. God, listen to their prayer today so earnestly as they pray for others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.